For those of you who were here last week, we looked at the first chapter of Ruth, and we saw both the judgment of God in the famine and also in Elimelech leaving the house of bread and going to Moab, which was under the judgment of God for not providing bread. But we also saw the grace of God and the fact that Ruth came against so much different things that would have kept her from coming. And, you know, the Lord was very good to her, both her and to Ruth, in bringing them back to the house of bread. There had been repentance and there was bread again, and a new life was beginning. Now we'll continue in chapters 2 and 3 this morning. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband, a worthy man, of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabite, said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. And he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young men, the young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers." So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. And Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go and glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for all that you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." And that's our theme for this morning, "Under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain. And she ate until she was finished, and she had some left over. And when she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening, and then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today, and where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite besides, "He said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until you have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Chapter 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And she replied, "All that you say, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. And at midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then, as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but rose before the one could recognize the other. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." And he said, "Bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did you fare, my daughter?" And then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, 'You must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" And she replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today." As far as the reading of God's word. Thank you. Dear congregation, beloved of our Lord Jesus Christ, it was a great blessing to live in the kingdom of God. It is today as well, obviously, but also in the Old Testament, because it was a physical kingdom on this earth. We're living in a spiritual kingdom of God, but then it was a physical kingdom, and God had given certain laws for that land, as we saw last week with the famine, that there would be no famine. God would take care of all the crops. There would always be food, because if they were obedient to the Lord, they didn't have to worry about that. Well, the Lord had also given a number of specific laws with regard to protecting the family. If in Leviticus 15, verse 25, if a husband would die, then the law would appoint a close relative who could, a goel, that's a Hebrew word, to redeem the family so that they would be set free of their debts and that the name could continue in the line of promise. So here in chapter 2, verse 1, it opens by telling us that there was a rich man named Boaz who was a relative who could act as a redeemer. Now, she didn't know this at this point, Ruth, but being a very practical woman, she decides that she needs to provide for her mother-in-law, so she goes out and gleans in the field. Now here again, how did she have the right to go gleaning in a field as a stranger, as a Moabitess? Because Leviticus 19, verses 9 and 10 says, "When you reap the harvest of your land to the owners, do not reap to the very edges of your fields, nor gather the gleanings of your harvest. And do not go over your vineyards a second time, or pick up the grapes that have fallen. leave them for the poor and the strangers, for I am the Lord your God. And in verse 34 of Leviticus 19, it gives the reason for this law. You shall love the stranger who lives among you, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. So you see how very generous God is. His laws provide for a stranger, also for Ruth. There's a blessing for all who come to seek refuge in God's kingdom. So in verse 3, it tells us that Ruth left home that morning, and notice what the text says. It's interesting. That she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. Now, children, do you think that just this kind of just happened? Was this just by chance that Ruth would come to the field of Boaz? And it's interesting the way the Holy Spirit has written this, that she just all of a sudden found herself kind of working on this field without even realizing it. And then verse 4 tells us also that at that very time, Boaz came to visit. He had come from Bethlehem to this particular field. Now, was that by chance as well? Well, of course not. You know, the Lord had planned this, that they would be there together on this particular morning. Boaz obviously must have been very busy. He could have been anywhere else. But it so happened that he wanted to visit the harvesters on this particular field. And he noticed Ruth because he said, "Who is that young woman?" And when he finds out who it is, then he could have just walked away. Okay, that's interesting. No. He goes over to her and welcomes her and speaks very kindly to her and says to her in verse 8, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field. Don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls because I have told the men not to touch you. And when you're thirsty, come and drink the water." So you see that Boaz immediately takes control of the situation to protect her in every way. Because these were still the days of the judges, or shortly after, and you know, it would be very dangerous for a young woman to be gleaning on a field by herself. She might be molested, and that's what he is referring to, that he wants to protect her. And all this kindness really is overwhelming to her, because we read in verse 10 that she falls down before Boaz and says, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, a stranger?" You know, it's hard for her to believe that this good thing is happening to her. This wealthy man, you know, has offered to that she can stay and glean in his fields until the end of the harvest. She's very vulnerable, obviously. But to find a place of refuge and security, that's wonderful for her. And even at the mealtime, he said, "Come here, I have some bread for you." And in verse 15, he personally offers her some roasted grain. And she ate to her full and kept some for Naomi. And then he tells his reapers to leave some grain for her and not rebuke her in any way. I mean, it's absolutely overwhelming. Why is this happening to her? Why is she being treated like this as a stranger? And then verse 11 and 12 tells us, "Boaz knew something about her. It has been fully reported to me that what you have done for your mother-in-law that had really impressed him since the death of her husband. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Remember from the first chapter that Ruth was going to leave it all behind because she wanted the God of Naomi to be her God. She trusted in him. She must have heard something good about the God of Israel. And Boaz is very pleased with her desire to come under the wings of Israel. But what is so comforting to her is that she is feeling God's love through Boaz. She is already being richly rewarded. She is enjoying the blessings of being under the wings of God's loving laws for strangers. What a contrast to her father-in-law who sought refuge under the wings of Chemosh, the God of Moab. How different is the God of Israel, who treats all those who come to him for refuge in such a wonderful way. The God of Israel is very generous. He has an economic policy that provides for strangers and visitors. He has a family policy that provides for kinsmen redeemers. All his laws are based on his justice and his love, his kindness and his compassion. He has laws to protect all the citizens as well as the strangers that seek refuge in his kingdom. So Ruth is completely blown away by all this when she says in verse 13, "May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she says to Boaz. "You have given me comfort. You have spoken kindly to your servant, even though I am not one of your servants." Ruth makes no claim that she has a right in any way to receive this kind of attention and comfort. How thankful she is to the God of Israel, who now has also become her God. Because the protection that Ruth is receiving is from God, whose laws Boaz is obeying. And therefore, she is receiving the blessing of God through his servant Boaz. You know, it would have been easy for Boaz just to take all the credit for himself as if he was some great hero, but he didn't do that. His name is Boaz, which means in him is strength. And that's not his own strength that it's referring to, but it's the Spirit of God who gives Boaz the strength. It's the Spirit who has written these laws of refuge for reapers. Boaz is only doing what God expected him to do to strangers. But he was obedient to the word. In his own natural self, he may have chased her away or taken advantage of her vulnerable position. But no, through Boaz, Ruth becomes very impressed with the God of Israel, who is now also her God, under whom she sought refuge. And dear brothers and sisters, there's a very important lesson for us to learn here for ourselves. The way Boaz was treating Ruth. What do your neighbors think of your God? Do they know who your God is? Do they see in you and through you how wonderful God's laws are? Are they experiencing what God has asked of you, to love your God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself? The actions of Ruth proved his faith and his trust in God. He was greeted by his workers, "The Lord be with you," and he responded, "The Lord bless you." This is the way he lived. And that's what gave Ruth such hope and such peace. The evidence that there is a God in Israel, a compassionate and just God, was before her in his people. She has seen the judgment of God on Naomi's family. She tasted of that. She saw the bitterness of Naomi. But now she sees the wonder of God's grace and feels the love of God through Boaz. And that's the kind of witness the Lord also expects from us today as his church. For all those that we come in contact with at school or at work or wherever, this is so critically important that the world sees Christ living in us and gets a taste of who Christ is, so that the light and the glory of Christ may shine into this dark world to bring hope to those who are enslaved in their sin. Well, you can just imagine how Ruth must have felt when she went home that night. What a day she had had. What a good day. She may have started out very fearful and apprehensive, but, you know, she found safety and security under the laws of God. She had truly found refuge under the wings of the God of Israel. So she goes home jubilant. And what encouraging news for Naomi as well. I mean, all day long she must have been wondering, well, you know, I wonder how Ruth's making out today and where she is right now. And then Ruth comes home with a half a bushel of grain. And she breaks out with joy. Naomi does. In verse 19, blessed is the man who took notice of you. And then Ruth goes on to explain who that man was. It was Boaz. And when Naomi hears this, the whole story about how, you know, Boaz protected her, Ruth, and how kind he was to her, this must have been absolutely overwhelming to Naomi. This must have hit her like a bolt of lightning. Because first she says, blessed is the man. But then when it dawns on her that there is so much more at stake here than what she first realized. So then she says again in verse 20, blessed be he by the Lord whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. That man is a close relative. He is one of our redeemers. But can you imagine what this meant for Naomi? She's so very excited when she realizes what's happening here. For the first time after so many years under the judgment of God, after so many tragic and sad things happening to her, losing her husband, losing her sons, now there's hope for her again. Finally, there's some light in this long, dark tunnel that she's been in for years and years. Now she can again begin to feel the Lord's hand of blessing on her. For so long, she has felt there was nowhere to go to find help. She had become very bitter. And now she realizes that God has not abandoned her. God still loves her. He's being gracious to her. God isn't finished yet with the name of her family, even though her husband has been dead for so long. Boaz is a near kinsman redeemer, and he has a responsibility according to God's law. So what a wonderful light now has gone on in her mind. What a promising door has now just opened. She now realizes God has not left her. He will provide for her. So chapter 2 ends on a very helpful note of what God will do. Now we come to chapter 3 and the harvest is over. God has provided for them this whole time. And now what is going to happen? Well, Naomi has been thinking, you know, about what maybe he should do through Ruth, what she should do through Ruth. Now that the season is over, the harvest season, and she has devised a plan in her mind whereby she might approach Boaz to fulfill his obligation towards her as a kinsman redeemer. And so in verse 1 of chapter 3, Naomi says to Ruth, my daughter, should I not try and find a home for you so that you will be well provided for? And is Boaz not one of our redeemers? Now it's important for us to realize and understand that she has a right to approach Boaz because she is a blood relative. So Naomi has a right to go to him, but she herself is too old to have children. So now she can go through Ruth. And that's why she approaches Ruth and suggests a way that she can go to Boaz to ask him to marry her. And Ruth agrees to Naomi's plan and gets herself ready, washes and anoints herself, gets dressed, quietly goes down to where Boaz is sleeping on the threshing floor, as Naomi had carefully planned. And it's also important for us that Ruth is not being forward or worse, committing some kind of immoral act. She's not using her body to attract Boaz. God has made a law that according to that law, she is legally able to claim Boaz as her redeemer. She has a right to go to him and ask him to take her as his wife. The Lord has opened that door. So very quietly, she waits for Boaz to wake up. You can just imagine the surprise of Boaz when he finds this woman lying at his feet at midnight. Who are you? And Ruth says, I'm your servant. Spread your wings over me since you are a redeemer. In other words, Boaz, I'm here to ask you to marry me because you are my redeemer or a redeemer. Now imagine on Boaz's part waking up to that. And how does he respond? Well, he doesn't seem to mind at all. He's pretty quick to answer. He doesn't say, well, you know, well, let's wait till morning and I'll let you know. No. He responds immediately and says, may the Lord bless you. I will do what you ask. He doesn't have to hesitate for a moment. The Lord has already prepared his heart to take her as his wife. But being a righteous man, he has to wait that there is a nearer kinsman redeemer, a nearer relative than himself. But he promises with an oath that if he refuses, then he will do it. He swears on it. So it's confirmed. And he gives her six measures of barley to take to Naomi so that she may know that there's already a down payment of more to come if this is going to work. But I want to draw attention to what Ruth says in verse 9 when she says, spread your wings over me as a redeemer. This very same phrase is used by the Lord in Ezekiel 16, verse 8, where the Lord takes Israel as his wife, and he spread his wings. The word garment is used there, but it could be also wings. And with an oath, the Lord says to Israel, you became mine. This is exactly what Ruth is asking Boaz to do, to spread his wings over her and take her as his wife. And Boaz had already used this very same phrase in chapter 2, verse 12, about Ruth coming to Bethlehem. She came to seek refuge under the wings of God. So in effect, Ruth coming to Bethlehem, she was asking the Lord to be her redeemer, even though she knew that she was an unworthy Moabitess. She had understood the gospel, the grace of the God of Israel for repentant sinners. She believed that the Lord would not turn her away. She had asked the Lord to redeem her. Now she's asking Boaz to come under his wings, meaning becoming his bride. And just imagine, congregation, what this meant for Ruth. Just in this short time, what great things God has done for her. In just 4 short months since the time that she came to Bethlehem, what incredible things have happened to her. Already in the first day that she came to glean in the field, she enjoyed the tenderness and the love of Boaz that he showed her from the moment that he saw her. He was greeted by her, he welcomed her, he protected her, he took immediate control to watch over her in her best interest. And he did all of this when she didn't even know that he was a kinsman redeemer. But Boaz had inquired of what kind of person she was. Chapter 3, verse 11, he says, all the people in Bethlehem knew that she was a virtuous woman because of what she had done for Naomi since her husband died. And now that Boaz has sworn to marry her, you know, that was as good as being married. If the other man will not fulfill his part, then they are married. And dear brothers and sisters, this is why we can be so encouraged today. Ruth felt herself to be so unworthy of all these wonderful evidences of God's grace in her life. But isn't that true of us as well? Here we are this morning, a church full of sinners, unworthy of God's grace. Who are we that Jesus Christ, the ascended Lord of glory, should take notice of any one of us? Why would he be interested in us? Why would he seek us out and speak kindly to us? Why would the perfect Son of God give his life to die for us? That's what Christmas is all about, right? Why would he promise to care for all of our needs now and forever? Is that your testimony to you this morning, to the Lord as well? How good the Lord has been to you. How he has spoken so kindly to you in the gospel. How he has encouraged you to stay with him and go nowhere else, as Boaz did to Ruth. Isn't that what Jesus has done for you? And much more. But now, what is your response? Ruth fell at his feet and said, "I'm not worthy to receive this. Why have you taken notice of me?" But then she did go and ask him to be her redeemer. Have you done that? Have you fallen down at the feet of Jesus, acknowledging how unworthy you are? But then have you also claimed him as your redeemer? Brothers and sisters, children, young people, have you asked Jesus to spread his wings over you? If you've never done that in your life, you need to do it today. Don't go to sleep without doing that. You need a redeemer. And Christ has come to redeem you. And he is always speaking so kindly to you and encouraging you to come to him with all your sin so that he can wash you clean and make you a beautiful bride for himself. It's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life if you haven't done that. Don't go to sleep without it, please. Ask the Lord to spread his wings over you so that you might know the wonder of his love in such a depth that you could never even imagine the great joy that you'll have if you have not ever done that. And notice how chapter 3 ends. Ruth comes with the good news that Boaz has agreed to marry her, but has to wait what the kinsman redeemer, the other man, will do. So Naomi says to Ruth, "Sit still, my daughter." In other words, Ruth, don't worry about it. It's in good hands. You can trust that Boaz will do what he has promised. But then she makes this little addition with great confidence. It shows the confidence that she had in Boaz. "For the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." Now, dear brothers and sisters, if it is true of Boaz, who was a righteous man, that he would not rest until he had accomplished what he had promised, how much more this is true of your Redeemer? He will not rest until he brings you home to the place that he has gone to prepare for you. He will not rest until you are seated with him at the banqueting table prepared for you, his bride. And he will not rest until he has gathered you into his everlasting arms. Amen. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the precious gospel, Lord. How true it is for each and every one of us here this morning that you have been so gracious, Lord, to us. You've invited us to come to you, to know you as our Redeemer, who has given your precious life for us when we were so unworthy of it, Lord. And the great joy, Heavenly Father, that brings the hope that it gives us, as it must have been for Naomi. Lord, what a change for her. After all those bitter years, Father, to hear that you still loved her and cared for her. And Lord, that's true for every one of us. Whatever difficulty we may have gone through in life, whatever struggles we may have had, Lord, but all of us here this morning can hear that there's hope for us, even if we have not been brought up in a Christian home, if we have not known the gospel before, Lord, there's hope. We see it in Ruth. She was a Moabite as she was cut off, but Lord, you brought her in by your grace and your mercy. It's true for all, Lord, who would come to you humbly, falling at your feet, repentant, and asking you to spread your wings over them. How we thank you for this gospel. How we thank you for the blessings of this day that we may worship you, Lord. We praise you for your goodness and your mercy to us. In Jesus' name, amen.